I had a conversation with Christy Strickland on my podcast called The Sales Evangelist. I decided to bring her on this podcast as well because she has tons of wisdom. Christy is going to share with us today why it's so darn important for each and every one of us, each and every one of us in sales, to share our success stories so that other people can learn about the benefits of sales. This is a good episode. You're going to love this episode. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to this podcast. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to another great episode of Selling in Color. I'm your host, Donald Kelly, the Sales Evangelist. And I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited for you to take part on this amazing podcast that we have called Selling in Color. If this is your first time watching one of our videos, I ask you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you're listening to the show. And here's the first thing that I want you to do. I want you to tell people about it. And if you don't believe that you should tell people about it yet, wait till after this episode. After you hear Christy talk about why we need to share our success stories, why we need to get more people of color to take part in sales, because there's so much money to be made. There's so much opportunities out there. And oftentimes we're kept from it because we don't know or don't believe that we deserve success in sales. We don't believe that we deserve the type of money that folks are making. It's not just for white folks, man. There's tons of opportunity for us. So we want to tell more of our friends, people who look like us, people who are Asian descent, people who are Hispanic, Latino background. We want people of color to take part in sales because that makes the sales world different and also gives us an opportunity to generate more money for us and our family. Listen to what Christy shared today. I want you to connect with her and check her out on LinkedIn as well and learn about her and Sales Loft doing some amazing things here. Let's go ahead and dive into the episode. Christy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Donald. How are you?
So good having you. And if those of you who don't know Christy, well, you need to make sure you connect with Christy. We have a link down in the show notes, and we connected for our episode of The Sales Evangelist. And I'm going to link back to that episode in this show notes so you can get those who don't get a chance to, you know, they can see your versatility, your talents and skills.
Two for one special. Okay.
So Christy, I bragged about you there a little bit in a teaser, telling people a little bit more about you and what you do and why you're so awesome and why we have you here on the show today. But give us a quick little, maybe 30 seconds, what you do right now, your role and so forth.
Okay, awesome. So I'm a senior customer renewals manager at Sales Loft, and I focus specifically on securing our enterprise renewals.
Awesome. So she's making things happen there in the tech world and in sales. And you have an extensive sales background as well, right? You know, you've done multiple different roles in the sales avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Started out as an SDR back in the day and then did some time as an account manager. And so now I'm just on the retention side of things specifically.
You know, and that's why I love having you, because you come with so much knowledge. You come from the sales, you know, the BDR side, you come from the AE side, and then you also have this triple-edged sword where now you can talk about the client success standpoint. And I think this episode is like perfect for you because you're able to share with people who might be interested in sales or people who are listening to this and, you know, thought about the idea of sales. You know, there's many different avenues you can take. It's not just, you don't have to be a, you know, go knock on doors and to be a great salesperson. Like most of us who are people of color are taught, that's the only persons with salespeople we see. You know what I mean? We don't know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like even when I was growing up, like the main thing you think about is sales are those people that are going door to door and trying to sell you the vacuum cleaners, right? Or the subscription to the magazines. And there really are just so many different avenues within sales that our people specifically just have no clue about.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about today is how sharing our success stories can draw more people of color to sales. And I remember it was a couple of weeks ago, I had one of these, this kid that I know, he's in college. I've seen him grow up since he was like, maybe elementary school kid, middle school. Let's say middle school. I think that's when I met Charlie. And we're having a talk, you know, chat and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to tell him about sales, but then this idea was stuck in my brain, like, you know, well, maybe it won't be a good job for him. And the reason why I was saying this, because I'm thinking that he needs to get something more secure, like sales, probably, you know, he probably wants to get a better job. And I'm like, why did I have that stupid thought? Like, it's just something that, you know, we get fed this stuff. And Joel and I, we just had this interview, and you guys could check out Joel's episode. It was aired a couple weeks ago. And Joel and I were talking about how those childhood beliefs, but you see, how something like that can impact us. Because now I didn't want to tell this kid to go into sales because I'm thinking that, okay, well, it's not that glamorous or not that good of a job. Am I making sense on that?
No, absolutely. You're right. And it's, you know, I think you hit on a great point that it's so impactful how one small moment and one perception from, you know, a valued mentor and advisor can like completely change the trajectory of a potential career. I know I can speak to myself personally, that similar thing happened with me wanting to go to med school, right? I had a mentor that was a physician and they were basically like, hey, Christy, to your point, like, I don't really think this will be a good path for you based on what I know about you and like what, you know, you want personally for your life. And that whole, that completely changed me from being, you know, Dr. Strickland, right? So I think it's very powerful to, you know, the power of words and also us limiting ourselves because of specifically in sales, the hard work and grind that it is.
Yeah. Do you feel that are you grateful that person told you that? Or did you feel that there is an opportunity lingering that you wanted to try with it?
Yeah, it's one of those things like you don't know what you don't know. And it's those small moments where you're like, gosh, where would I be if I had just went to med school, right? Or but then you have to be grateful for other things because it's like, okay, I might not have my children right now if I had done that, right? Or I could have been, you know, hit by a train on the way to work. You know, like you don't know those types of things. So it's just being grateful for the moment that you are. But I would be lying if I said I don't have those days where I'm like, man, I really wish I had went to med school, right? Just because of that passion that I had for it. But again, trusting in that mentor at the time. So, you know, I would be lying if I said I don't think about it, but I definitely just am grateful for the journey that I'm on right now.
And I think that's a beautiful part right there. You know, the path that you do take, how can you make that amazing? And I think with your story, like in, you know, other people hearing stories like this or hearing stories of how someone has succeeded or thrive in sales, help them. So talk to me about that. You know, why are you so passionate about us sharing? You kind of allude to it. Why we need to share our success stories with folks who are coming up or other people?
Absolutely. So I would say it goes back to that childhood mindset, right? And you're thinking of what most people like us think of sales, right? It's that door-to-door person. And we know how we treat the people that come to the door, right? We're like, no, I don't want it. Why are you showing up at my house? Like, don't do that, right? So it's that mindset of just who wants to be told no all the time, right? It's who wants to sell, you know, obviously very simple example, are the vacuums or the magazine subscriptions. And I think for me, just knowing that and also by nature, not being a really pushy personality, I'm kind of like, if you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, don't. And in my mind, I kind of had this preconceived notion that salespeople had to be very aggressive and like shoving things down your throat, kind of like a car salesman, right? And I think for me, once I actually got into sales and saw that there are so many different avenues and roles specifically within sales, and I'm very grateful for having had the opportunity to sort of move around to the roles until I found that ideal fit for me. And I can honestly say that I love it. And so I think sharing success stories of, hey, when I was in this role, knowing this is what it takes to be a BDR, right? You're going to have thick skin. Understand that no on the other side of the phone is not to Christy personally. It's just a person that doesn't want to buy this product right now or service. And then in the account manager role, knowing the responsibilities of developing the relationships. And if you're a person that really likes to cultivate getting to know someone and really ingraining yourself into their business and learning that and being that trusted advisor, then there's potentially a really great fit for you here. Or if you're more operationally minded and you really like more of the project management focus like me, then hey, the renewals manager and kind of being more contractually and negotiation skill based type selling might be a good fit for you. So I think especially like me telling my kids or like you said, your cousins or whomever, about all of the options and really explaining that it's not just this one person that's going to be told no all the time is the only thing that sales is, can open up a lot of doors for us and for us to be able to see more people like us in sales, which is a huge, huge gap right now.
You know, one of the thoughts that just came to mind from you sharing that, I'm thinking how many kids still have what they call them, career days where parents come in or family member. If everyone who's listening to this, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't know. I mean, I have a soon to be 13-year-old and I've never once heard him talk about a career day or even been given the opportunity to speak at those. So I don't even know if that's a thing. Maybe it's not here in Atlanta, but my son has never had one of those.
I think there's probably some opportunities there. If you know, for those who are on this, maybe we need to ask the kids in our lives, our nieces, nephews, kids, cousins, whatever. Find out from them, do they have those career days? And if that's the case, they can ask their teachers. And if we can make that happen, I think it would be cool for people to recognize that there you know, especially in our communities, so they can see that people who look like them are in a professional sales career and they're making, you know, good money. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, all commission. You could make, you know, you could make six figures in a selling role in the tech space, and there's opportunities out there. I don't know. Yeah.
Very easy. And I think you bring up a great point, is exposing children as young as possible, that, you know, in our minds, we think, oh, it's only going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, yeah, or, you know, a nurse, just those basic, much needed, don't take me wrong, like much needed roles. But there are so many opportunities and avenues for our children to go into that if they don't have that service mind and they are more of a professionally based mind child. And there's a lot of money to be made in sales. And so there's certainly, you know, why not?
And the barrier of entry, that's the beautiful part about it. Say the doctor, you're looking at, what's that, 15 years probably altogether?
A lot. a lot of time and a lot of money invested just to get to that baseline, whereas you can start out, you know, as a BDR straight out of college with no knowledge about anything as related to sales. Like me coming from a pre-med background, like I didn't have, you know, business-minded type studies. Mine were very, you know, human anatomy-focused science type studies. And so these tech companies will completely teach you all you need to know about their product and service. So don't feel intimidated about not knowing the space. And then if you think about it as sales, like we're always, especially us, we're always selling something, right? It's us in society. It's us within our familial structures. It's, you know, constantly putting on this mask to just go out in the world to sell ourselves to be accepted. And so I think we honestly naturally have a little bit of an edge up in a lot of ways for knowing how to position something to get the goal that we want, because our DNA is hustlers, right? And so I think we actually have a leg up if we, and then we just learn their product on top of it. I mean, we can get in it and kill it.
You know, and you're so right on that. Like, you know, think about people. I feel, I did an episode and I was talking to someone like how people of color are some of the best people for sales. Like going back to that same reason why, like in somebody shared, I love what you shared there. One, you're selling yourself every day. Joel was just talking about that. He's like, you know, sometimes people, you show up to the room, whether you're female or male, and you know, you're transgender or you're, you know, LGBTQ, and you know, somebody, you show up to this meeting and people are not expecting you. You're not the mold that you, yep, that they had. So you have to sell yourself. So you're coming back with this idea of like, why I'm, he said that was the first sale that we have. And the second sale is then asking for the money.
Yeah, absolutely. Episode. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you get in it and add our culture and our stank on it, right? And just our natural ability to get people to like us and resonate with us by the things that we share. I mean, there's a lot of money for us specifically in sales. And especially now with all the current events, right? Let's just speak to the elephant in the room. A lot of companies are trying to hire people of color right now to make sure their numbers are what they need up to be on from, you know, a diversity and inclusion perspective. And so I think, you know, if sales is something that you're serious about, of course, like companies are looking for people like us to fill some of those positions and to make sure it looks equal across the board. Because I know, speaking candidly with one of my peers at SalesLoft, like we look around on the sales floor and there's one or two of us on the sales floor. Mm. And we're like, why? You know, why is that? We know
why in Atlanta.
Exactly. The mecca of Black Hollywood and, you know, literally right smack dab in the middle of Midtown Atlanta. And, you know, now even being remote, it's like, why are there one or two salespeople on this whole entire sales floor? There's a problem there.
So, and I think in some ways we're in 2021 right now, and it's still pioneerish, it seems like, for people of color in sales. So there's a lot of room, a lot of growth, a lot of opportunities here that we can, you know, we can make happen. So you're making me learn a lot in this episode, and it sounds like it's so silly and simple, but just like thinking about it again, I felt like talking to Charlie, and I'm going to send this episode to him now, but I was talking to Charlie and I'm just kind of like thinking again, like, I want him to have something that's glamorous. And it's like, no, this sales career is glamorous. Like if look at the career and the business that we have technically two businesses. We have, you know, large deals. We have 11 people working with our organization, all came from sales. Like, can that be better? Am I doing are you doing a service to someone? Or, you know, you might think you're a disservice if they're going into sales compared to being an accountant. And it's like, no, this is a way better job. We need our accountants. I love my accountants.
Yeah. No shade to accountants, but it's true. It's true, because in sales, right, if you're the type of person that, you know, is like the lone wolf mentality. It's like, let me just go out here in my territory and crush it. And I just want to make, you know, lots of sales reps make millions of dollars a year. Let's just call it for what it is. Right. Sure. And I just want to be that type of person where I'm just out here cashing in as much money for me personally as I can. There's that avenue. Or if leading and mentoring is a type of thing, there's always a need for sales leaders. And so there's the opportunity to mentor, you know, after you've been successful and can prove that you know what you're talking about, right? You can go and be a sales leader and lead up the next generation of sales reps. So if there's that teaching component or mentoring component that somebody might be good at, there's that. And then there's always like sales enablement. That's a hidden gem that a lot of people don't realize either. Like if you're, again, more of like the operationally focused, like let's make sure we're equipping all of our sellers with the tools and resources they need to learn the product or learn these effective sales motions. So there's so many different roles. And that for me, I didn't even know about until I got in a sales capacity and worked for a company that was large enough to have all these different like tiers of sellers and sales, you know, teams. So I think definitely go back and tell Charlie, like there's a lot of options that he can choose from. It's not just that main door-to-door person. There's so many avenues. And I think the whole point of this podcast, right, is to educate the younger generation and make sure they're aware of all of these roles, because it's not just working in the factory that our families worked in for generations. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you have to go and be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer. Like you can make a lot of money, have a 9-to-5, balance your family in sales. So I'm
loving this. I'm doing a meeting next week and going to this in and I'm grateful that the event organizer invited me, but it's anyone know about the Breakers in South Florida. It's pretty a well-to-do spot and I get a chance to go and I'm going to represent, you know, the sales career and entrepreneurship, but more so in sales. Awesome. And speaking to some high school kids, I'm going to tell them like, they should consider doing sales as an option. And I mean, even right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking even a mission for what we're doing with this podcast. I think we should set a goal for like the next several years to get 10. I need to be specific, but I'm thinking what came to mind was 100,000. Get 100,000 people to understand the benefit of sales, impact that, and thinking how we could track that. So I'm going through this episode, getting some groundbreaking stuff here with me, Christy. But I'm thinking if, you know, the people that I speak with, or the, you know, opportunities that we have connected, we need to get more people of color to know the opportunities there in sales. And if we mean business with that, and I'm grateful to be a part of Sales for the Culture. And I'm thinking about, again, a younger generation or people who are in sales right now, how can we help them to succeed even more so? So you gave me a little mission that I need to make sure I put further. So
yeah, I love it.
It's good. Well, let's talk about this further. What are some of the ideas that we can do to help share our success stories with people who currently may be in sales, people in our career, in other career path, that are friends that may want to change to come into sales, or even the younger generation? Any other ideas of what we can do to share our success story without being obnoxious?
but I think there is a little bit of a need to be a little bit obnoxious about it, right? Because I think a lot of times when we find success, we don't want to talk about it or quote unquote brag about it, because we don't want people looking at us like, you think you all that because you make a lot of money, because you know, that is sometimes the personification that we give off when we're talking about our successes. But it's like, I'm not talking about the fact that I made X amount of dollars last year to brag. I'm trying to bring you with me and show you like this is an opportunity for you to come along. And so I think it's that it is talking about, hey, when you crush your number, don't be afraid to pat yourself on the back, right? And talk about it. Or if you made a really powerful connection, or if you are doing great things in sales and have been promoted, talk about it so people can see, okay, hey, somebody like us can be just as successful. So I think there's that component of it. I think it's recruiting our friends and our cousins and sisters and brothers to roles that we're in, because I know like a lot of companies have referral bonuses. And to the point that I made earlier, like a lot of companies are hiring for people that look like us right now. So it is bringing in your friends like, hey, brother or sister, you don't have to have 10 years of sales experience to start. You know, you may be starting as a BDR or SDR, but the idea is that you get in here and you crush it and you can quickly move up the ladder. So yeah, I think it's referring, it's talking about it, it's referring people. And then I think to your point, it's like going and talking to this younger generation and making them aware of legal sales options that they can do, right? Because the idea is that they want to make a lot of money and make a lot of money fast. And you can absolutely do that in sales. So just the education and a lot of things like Sales for the Culture is doing as a fourth thing would be to just get involved. And, you know, do panels, do podcasts like this, right? Because it only helps to spread awareness and then just put the boots to the ground to accomplish those goals that you set out for.
Oh, so good. So good. I'm loving this. Yeah. And I think all of those things. And I especially go back to this idea of being willing to share it. I can tell you that I was afraid, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to get your family getting jealous or, you know, upset, yeah. But it's not that. It's kind of just like, listen, no, I'm not being boastful. I'm just telling you, this is what you can do. And we deserve it. We deserve to, I think the big piece that I'm getting from this and conversation with Joel that record went last week was we deserve to earn that type of money as well. And for so mm-hmm. long, it's been subtly ingrained in us that, you know, that's, you know, this is a white person job. Or white people make that type of money or, you know, yes. white people are rich. And it's like, I'm telling you, the Christine, my mom, the most money I knew she made at one point, I think was like when I was in high school, maybe she made like around 30, maybe mm-hmm. 25 to 30. And I remember when I was doing my Pell Grant for college and I was looking at the numbers, I was like, how did this woman help us to survive on this stuff?
Do
like
how? Right.
Mm-hmm. But and subtly it's ingrained in our mind. It's like, well, that's what I could make. You know, so when you got that first job, like saying making $30,000, I was like, okay, well, that sounds good. It's like, well, yes. you know, that should
yeah,
be triple.
We limit ourselves. Yeah, absolutely. We limit ourselves. And I think to your point, like it goes all the way back, right? Like don't want to be the black person that has to have a conversation and talk about slavery, but like it is what it is, right? Like we're so ingrained in our mind that we deserve less than, and we deserve, like, it's not possible for us, or people that look like us aren't able to win. And we very much are. And it's very easy to do if we can get out of our own way and don't have that mindset of, you know, oh, 30K is all I can do, or there's too much risk. Oh, I'm going after this 120K yeah. job. I'm not good enough, you know, and oh, they're only going to give it to a white person because, you know, paper to paper, like sometimes in a lot of cases we stack up and if not do a little bit better than, right? And so I think if we can get out of our own way and put ourselves out there to be in these successful scenarios, we will continue to have more success for generations to come. And then we set that standard of, okay, my mom was making $100,000. It's, you know, 20 years later, I should be going after $200,000, right? Yes. Like, don't have that mindset of, oh, I'm all, you know, there's no way I can make as much as my parents made, because the whole idea is that each generation is making significantly more money. So,
oh, I love it. And I think, you're 100% right with that. Like, if everyone, like, we should look to stacking up. Or like I was thinking about this the other day when, you know, for my son, I want my son, and it's going to happen, and, you know, hopefully in other kids that we have, to have an unfair advantage against their peers. Sure. I'm stacking them up to have an unfair advantage, giving them skills, the things that I've learned, the schools of hard knock. They don't need to start off and go from the same problems that we have. We need to create generational wealth. We need to create opportunities yeah. for them so that they can get ahead. And it's totally fine. That is fair. And that's what we are. And that's why we're doing podcasts like this. We want you to have your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, your uncles, everyone you know in your community to have an unfair advantage because they're taking advantage of the insights that we get from folks like Christy freaking Strickland. Boom.
Absolutely. And that should be the standard. That should be the expectation for us. That is the baseline yeah. that our kids automatically have an advantage over everybody else around them because we've set ourselves up to have this generational wealth, and people like you, like they can pass down your podcast to your kids and things like that. Like everybody else does that. Why are we as a culture so far behind the eight ball on that? Like, why are we not yeah. already doing that? And I think there's definitely a wave right now that people are starting to get on that and making sure they're setting themselves up for that generational wealth. But we've got to keep the momentum going because there's so much money to be made out here in sales or just starting your own business. And that's another avenue too. Like if you see a need out there, like, especially now during the pandemic, right? There's so many unmet needs and people are making a ton of money by just finding the very simple things that make your life so much easier. Start your own business. Like use the money that you make from, you know, a successful sales career to pursue your passion and start your own side hustle and then have your own podcast like Donald Kelly, right? Like there are so many, like it doesn't have to be the end all. Like use sales yeah. as a way to stack up the money that you want and then go pursue your passion. Like you don't have to stay in it. Cause like for me, having the quota was not something that I enjoyed. I liked the stability of maybe being on the other side of sales more so, but yeah. you can use the money that you make in sales to be comfortable or to start your own passion project. So you don't always have to stay in sales once you're in it. You can always use that and then have that on your resume. And then people will see, oh, wow, you've done sales. So you know how to negotiate. You know how to manage contracts. You know how to update CRMs, all these different things. So that's another thing too. Like you may not be a seller for 30 years, but anytime that you're in it, you can learn valuable professional skills in addition to making whatever money that is that you need to make to survive.
Ooh, so good. Christy Strickland came in here and dropped some knowledge bombs. Christy, folks listening to this episode, they want to get connected with you. How did it go about doing it? Well, let's back up. One major takeaway you want folks listening to this to walk away with. What's that one major piece of advice?
Don't be afraid to try sales. I think a lot of us are very afraid to get into it because we are not good enough or we don't know how. But there are so many people like Donald C. Kelly and so many resources out here like Sales for the Culture that will teach you the skills and the way to carry yourself as a professional seller in the industry. So don't be afraid to try it because you do deserve to make the same money as your peers.
Love that. And if folks want to get connected with you, how did it go about doing so?
Yeah, absolutely. So Christy Strickland on LinkedIn.
Awesome. So I'm challenging everyone who's listening to this episode today. I want you to do one thing. I want you two things. I want you to connect with Strickly. I want you to connect with Christy. You like how I put that name together there?
I like that. I like it.
I want you to connect with Christy. And then the other thing I want you to do is I want you to share this with three people. You got to know at least three people who are in sales or who's thinking about going in sales or should be in sales and they're not there yet. Three people. That waiter you saw yesterday, she should be doing this. That guy, your cousin, you know, that's always out there hustling, he should be doing this. Like, we deserve it. Let's make a change. Let's make that happen. So
love
thank
it.
You. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Donald.
That was my good friend, Christy Strickland. And if you haven't connected with her on LinkedIn as well, please, please just go ahead and do so right now. You can just go search for her, KristiStrickland on LinkedIn. Connect with her, tell her you heard her on Selling in Color, and I know she would super appreciate that. And please, if you haven't done so, please go ahead and hit subscribe if you're watching the video, or if you're listening to this on Apple or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts, just subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review. It goes a long way for folks who are coming in after you can see that this podcast is of worth, and I appreciate you doing that. As always, we do the show because we want to create opportunities. We want folks out there, people who look like us, people of color, to recognize that there are opportunities in sales, opportunity to generate wealth, and opportunities to be able to take part in a successful career. We don't have to beg for it. We can go out and take advantage of it. We can make opportunities. We don't have to beg for a piece of the pie. We can make our own pie. And I want you to be able to do so. I want you to succeed and I want you to thrive in sales. Please take us up on this challenge and go out and reach out to three people today and just share this podcast with them so that they can know about this. I appreciate you. And as always, I challenge you to go out each and every single day and do big things. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the episode today. I appreciate you. You could be doing many other things, but you sacrificed the time to be able to improve yourself and to listen to our podcast, and that means a lot. If you haven't done so already, I ask that you leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a really long way when someone can come behind you and hear about the show from someone else and hit subscribe. Thank you if you can do that, and if you've done it already, it would mean a lot. I appreciate you. Also, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can get the same amazing content, but you get a chance to see us, as well as more tips, tricks, and strategies that can help you compete and to succeed as a sales rep. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by the one and only Mr. Gershon O'Bale. Our show notes today was created by the one and only Rael Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is Mrs. May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Destin Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Rushman. Our podcast production coordinator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits to this episode and all of the episodes in each of our show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.